Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From The Iron Woman, we only have special guests, and today we go to Wales. Sue Hetherington is with us, and she writes a daily blog, and it says, "Today, listening for the song of the world." Where do you go to listen for the song of the world? What do you hear? Go gently, with hope, for we are all in this together. Pause, see differently, restory. Thank you so much. I needed to hear this today, but introduce yourself, Sue. Who is Sue? Who's going to join us today?
Oh, well, thank you so much for inviting me. It's lovely to meet you at last.
Finally.
I've seen at a distance. I'm Sue Hetherington. I live in a beautiful, beautiful, tiny little valley that is completely hidden. It's in the hills north of Swansea, so I'm only 7 or 8 miles from the sea, but because the valley is hidden in the hills, it's very quiet here and it's beautiful here. Although the pandemic was a challenge for so many of us, for me, it also was an enormous privilege to be here during lockdown because it meant that I got to know the little ways of the valley, know the seasons, know how life works. Not just because we have alpacas and we certainly have plenty of life with 36 alpacas in the valley, but seeing the wider and experiencing the wider delights of being in the middle of nature. But the interesting thing too is that it slows you down. Mm-hmm. Not slows you down in terms of, oh, I want to do all these different things and I can't, but slows you down in terms of helping you move with the rhythms of nature and notice more. I find I see much more.
I'm a runner, so sometimes when I go to a place, I run and you see different things than taking the car. So it actually slows you down, but walking is even slower.
Yes, it is. It is. When you walk, it also slows your mental processes. Not it makes them sluggish. In fact, almost the opposite, because what it does is you get into a rhythm with walking that actually then translates to the rhythm of how you think. I have found that walking in the valley is the place. Not only do I get huge inspiration for my writing and my poetry and the conversations I have with people and so on, but it also enables me to take in much more, to breathe more deeply. In doing that, I really, interestingly, it moves you from being predominantly in your left brain, where you're doing analytical stuff, you're sorting these things out, you're trying to work it all out, to right brain becoming much more creative.
We need that much more.
We do. That's really one of the challenges that I think in leadership and in the wider workplace and the wider world, that especially now we need to pay attention to. Because we don't need more knowledge. We've got access to so much. But the question is, what are we going to do with what we know? If we don't stop and think about what are we doing with what we know, we'll just keep doing the same things over and over and over again. Actually, we don't need more of that.
No. How you nicely described how you endured the pandemic. Did people learn something?
That's a really, really good question. That actually quite a lot of people learnt quite a lot. But I think there's fear in some of that knowing. because it's so different, asks questions that we haven't been used to asking. The really simple question of, do you have to go into an office to do your work?
I don't.
Well, no.
No.
No. Do you need someone to tell you what to do the best job?
No.
Well, there were some amazing examples of where people had to work together and work it out together and show initiative and create a different way of doing things because they were faced with a scenario before, and because a lot of the kind of structures and hierarchies were not there. The systems of doing things weren't there once we went into that different world of the pandemic. I saw a lot of examples of astonishing initiative, mm-hmm. some amazing creativity, a lovely sense of community and engagement. Even though people couldn't physically be with each other, there was a really strong sense of community. Mm-hmm. Back to your question, I think that the fear of not being in control that I think mm-hmm. is what we often see in organizations means that a lot of that initiative and a lot of the insights that were gained during the pandemic, it's almost like people have tried to push them back into the box. Actually, we've got a really important job to open those boxes again, to let out the creativity and the humanity that actually is there in bucket loads, but which is in danger of just getting completely squashed.
Tell us more about your book, which is so important now, The Quiet Disruption. Obviously, they always talk about innovation, it's disruption and creativity and now right brain. But that word, when you add that quiet, makes you think.
I came up with it as a phrase 5 years ago when I needed a really quick way of introducing myself, given that my background has been, well, it's been very unusual. My background doesn't fit a normal trajectory.
Tell us, what is your background? Because people always think they have one job. And then I'm like, no. This is the most interesting. No. People have like different paths, how they get to where they are today.
I've not only not had just one job, I've had multiple industries. I don't fit in a box very easily. My original background is actually in rural development, in overseas rural development, and I specialised in farm diversification and rural communities. But I was too far ahead of my time with the research that I was doing, and I either had the chance of staying inside an academic institution and doing research papers and lecturing for 20 years until my research came to fruition, or do something else. I chose to do something else. I've worked in universities. I've worked in education. I've worked in marketing. I've worked in planning. I've worked in small businesses. I've worked with people who are homeless. What else have I done? All sorts of other things. And then I got headhunted to go and work in healthcare, which initially I thought, that really is not, I keel over at the sight of blood. This is not a good place for me to be. But they persuaded me in going and joining one of the biggest primary care providers in the UK at the time. I went in with a sense of an open door to bring a very different way of looking at healthcare. And within that, a very different way of leading in healthcare. Because for me, this question of how you lead and the model that you are leading with is so important, given that I'd spent so long in both my academic life and in subsequently in recognizing that if we only think in silos, we are going to have problems. Therefore, my whole thing has always been, how do you look at the boundaries of things? How do you integrate things, bring ideas together in a way that they haven't been before? I knew that if you're going to do that as a leader, you have to also have a different model of leadership. The leadership model I took into healthcare was a plurality of leadership, which said we need clinical leadership. So we need people who really understand medicine, but we also need strategic leadership. Therefore, whenever I worked in a healthcare environment, I was all the time looking for who can I partner with so that actually we can bring these silos together. The consequence was we did some really, really exciting stuff. We did some extraordinary, innovative developments in practice in both population medicine, in specific clinical areas, in mental health, in all sorts of areas. I then went on from there to my first formal job inside the NHS was actually as a chief exec. I spent 10 years as a chief exec who quietly challenged the way things were. I'm not someone who stands up on a soapbox and says, you've got to do this and we're going to do that. Because actually, I know that real change only happens if people themselves change. You can never force people to change. People talk about change management. Well, that's rubbish. You can't manage change. What you can do is inspire and encourage and provoke people so that they can become the change that they really want to see. That's what I did in healthcare. I was a bit disruptive. In the end, it got too difficult for me to be there because I challenged, quietly challenged, but I challenged the status quo too much and my position became untenable. 5 years ago, I needed a different way of expressing myself. So I just came up with this phrase, quiet disruptor, because actually that's what I've done in virtually every setting I've ever been in. And then started writing the blog. And then a couple of years later, actually wrote the book. And the book, Quiet Disruptors, Creating Change Without Shouting, identifies what are the characteristics of people who are quiet disruptors. In that sense, it was a manifesto. Actually, we can do it differently. But to do it differently, we need to recognize that there are people who've got some amazing insights and we need to listen to them. We need to give them the space that they can really flourish in. In that sense, it's a bit of a call to leaders, because if you only ever give space to people who shout or come up with a quick answer, actually, you're not going to get the best of people who've got some amazing insights, but don't thrive in that environment.
So true. In a way, I've been working in the US for many years. Now, listening to you, it feels like, and don't get me wrong, I love the US, I love New York, the loud place, the city that never sleeps. It feels like there's always this bandage approach. Initially, I wrote a blog when I was in India, looking at the roads. In India, they always said, everything is good except the roads. So when they have a road, it doesn't work. They build a road over the other road. But to get to that, and they call it flyover, it takes you a long time. In Switzerland, and now I'm generalizing, they do the research and they do more research. And by the time they come to a conclusion, it's too late. Versus in the US, they have, I can only say for New York, they have, because the temperature in the winter is so cold and in the summer is so hot, you have a lot of potholes. But then, my lovely New Yorkers, you just patch up the pothole. Then you have another hole next year. What you say is it's about listening and maybe listening to the quiet person and not have this fast approach all the time.
Yes.
In some ways, it's good. We need to take risks and we need to go fast. But in other ways, we need to take a little more time.
What I think is, it depends about the kind of issue or the kind of problem that you're trying to solve.
Exactly.
Absolutely. If it's an emergency and it needs to be solved now, you just need to do it. There's a well-known phrase, isn't there? Don't just stand there, do something. Don't just stand there, do something. But there's times when actually doing something is the wrong thing to do. Sometimes you need to reverse that phrase and say, don't just do something, stand there. Because sometimes the first reaction to it is not the best reaction. You've got to get into this whole area of, oh, I'm curious about that. Or, oh, I wonder what would happen. If we only want quick answers, we don't give time for that kind of question. We don't give time for that really difficult thing of saying, so actually, how did that go? Really do some reflection rather than just, oh, let's go on to the next thing.
That's basically going back to the first question, like, what have we learned from the pandemic? I was in an organization, they always say, we need to have lesson learned. Somebody asked there, what are the lessons learned? What are we doing? In sports, you always watch videos, how we can do better. There, we take it more serious. In the business, this doesn't work. Let's go this way. We have a change in leadership, then things change.
Yes. But at the end of the day, it's all about people. Actually, we need to recognize that people aren't robots. They aren't machines.
And these days we talk about AI. What do you think about that?
AI is fascinating. The AI, that's a very little phrase for a big area, that there is an awful lot that where AI can be of real benefit. In my own original area of healthcare, the diagnostic capabilities are extraordinary. However, I also think that we need to remember, or we need to work on, the question of the ethics of AI and making sure that we are, as a human race, are developing at a pace that actually can make good decisions about AI rather than giving away our agency. AI is amazing, but not if we stop taking responsibility for being humans.
Exactly. I always have one last question. What do you do when you don't work?
Oh, I do lots of things, but I love being out in the valley, going out and walking and being with the alpacas and reading and all that lovely stuff. This afternoon, I walk out into the valley and just see what takes my notice and see what forms in my thinking. So it's often not about trying to get ideas from somewhere else, but actually giving myself the space for all the things that I have received or thought about or read, just to settle and to come together in a different way.
There is so much more to uncover, and the quiet disruption. Let's give that some more thought. Thank you so much for all your insights.
Well, it's been a real joy to have this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. What a wonderful conversation. Let's pause for a moment. Let's pause for a moment. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday. Don't miss out. Learn from others. Grow with others. Plant seeds. There's something for everybody. And also get the book, Take It From the Iron Woman, Global Business Coaching with Sports Parallels. We'll see you next time. Thank you for your support. Bye-bye.